In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Abide in me, Jesus says, as I abide in you. I am the true vine, and every branch that bears fruit does so because of its connection to the vine. And every branch that does bear fruit gets pruned, so that it can bear more fruit. Now, as the vine grows, as we grow, and as we abide in the source of all life, we become channels of grace. This is how things grow. It starts as the essence of what it is, and then it reaches out to bear fruit, to cast shade, to be something good in the world. And the thing that makes this whole thing work is love. Love. Not ritual or dogma or hierarchy or even belief, but love. Each of those warrants a really good conversation. But without love, none of them makes any sense. Without love, the vine does not grow. No protective shade is cast. No grapes are plucked. No wine is poured. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Now, we talk about love a lot. We talk about love here in the church. We hear about love all throughout the world. It means different things to different people. It means different things at different times. We all assume it's a good thing, something you should have more of. The world needs more of it. But this love is more than simply a good feeling of or a feeling of fidelity or of romance or of bromance or of siblinghood or of patriotism or any number of things you might come up with. Rather, this is something far deeper. This is love that is the essence of God. This is self-giving love. This is divine image love. This is the knowable part of the one who is infinite and unknowable. The part that we can discern and experience, though we cannot know and see and understand the depths of God. We do experience this incredible life force, this thing that we have been given so that we can grow and so that we can share it with the world. God's love is the source of all things. It's the source of our souls and our bodies and our whole world. This love is the reason for everything we do. Because God loves us, we ought to love one another. Think about that for a minute. It's so deceptively simple. But because this is what we begin with, that's how we're supposed to relate to everybody we meet, to everyone in our lives, to this whole world, to everything in God's creation. Because God showed us the gift of this love. How can we not pour it back out into a world that needs it so much? This love is a source of growth. It is the vine in which we abide, and it is the energy that allows us to bear fruit. Love is also how we move through the stages of community, from being individuals to being something far richer together. Think about this. How often do we start from a place of total individuality? In fact, that's when we most get into trouble, when we're thinking not about what the community needs or what someone else needs, but rather what do I need, just me, in order to be safe, in order to get what I think I need to have. And then, of course, a little bit of love, a measure of love, will take you to that next step, which is tribalism, which I know I talk a lot about tribalism, and I don't say nice things about it, but it It is an improvement over pure ego individualism. Because at the very least, you're now thinking about what it means to be in community. And sometimes life is hard and you got to circle the wagons and get through it together and figure out how to do it. So that may not be the best thing, but at least you're beginning to step out of yourself and think about what the wider community needs. But then, love, and I'm thinking here of love that flows through the vine and into us, into the branches, it turns us into something even more as we begin to discover this thing called covenant, which is when I'm not just trying to sign a contract with someone, but rather I am committing something of myself in order to really reach out and be a fulfillment for you and likewise. It takes love to enter into a relationship like that. But then we go one step farther. As our love says, you know what? It's not just about the agreement that we reach, but rather it's about entering into communion, where we actually abide in the faithful presence of one another. When we abide with God and God abides in us. When we're not thinking about what the terms of the contract or the covenant are. Grammar people, help me out. That was good. We're not thinking about that so much as just resting and being with our beloved. You know who knows how to abide? An infant knows how to abide. Think of this. As you are holding a child who depends entirely on their parent for safety and sustenance and nurture, but also for unconditional love, and who can rest in that parent's arms. I'm just kidding. Kids don't really rest. But sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. And the point is that unconditional love is something that an infant knows that they need instinctively, and it is something that both the parent and the child need in order to thrive. And if it is not there, well, that's a tragedy. And it can take a whole lifetime to heal from that. And think about this. Anytime we have been in a position of vulnerability, when we are caring for somebody, it's that unconditional love that is healing, that is nourishment. So I think that in some ways it is an infant who knows better than anybody else what it truly means to abide. But we don't stay that way. We get bigger. We get more important. We have more things to think about and worry about. And before too long, we forget what this is. We forget how to abide. That is, until we really start to mature spiritually. Now, what does it mean to become more spiritually mature? You may be thinking that means that you are now entering into a period where you're going to do 6 or 7 hours of silent meditation every day. And you're going to start, like, elevating in your seat because you're so good at meditating. You know, if I look out and I see someone start to levitate, I'm going to want to talk to you and get coffee afterwards. Because clearly you are onto something. But that's actually not what this is. It's not about showing off. It's about learning how to abide. That's a great gift. And it can take a lot of wisdom and life lessons before we get back to this place where we can really just let ourselves go. It can take a lot of unlearning. It can take a lot of letting our fears subside, of having our traumas healed before we feel like we can do it. And we can't do it often because we're really locked up with fear. There is no fear in love. perfect love casts out fear. In their book on the journey of grief, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and David Kessler distill the wisdom that they have learned from working with people who are going through great loss and sometimes even their own deaths. And they found, time and time again, a direct relationship between love and fear. That whenever someone that they were working with was living out of fear, then they found it so difficult, if not impossible, to find love and to abide and to trust. And on the other side, that as we grow into love, as we learn how to abide, then that fear that seems so important begins to dissipate and to go away. And what they picked up on was that our hearts cannot do the same thing at the same, the two things at the same time. We cannot multitask on that. We cannot love and we cannot fear at the same, in the same breath. We can go back and forth very fast, but we cannot do the two things at once. To love is to put fear on hold, even if just for a microsecond, and even that is valuable. But to let fear run rampant is to let it decide for us, and in all the ways, how we are to live our lives, and to diminish our capacity for love and for all the healing growth that comes with it. Which brings me back to the branch and the vine, which is a metaphor for the love that binds us to our Creator, for the love that casts out fear and draws us into a relationship with unconditional, abiding joy. But that may not be what you heard in this passage, because it kind of ends on a sour note, or it starts to, and then it gets better again, because towards the end we hear about casting the branches that aren't doing so well into the fire. So there is a harshness to this that you might have heard, the language of throwing away, of discarding things that don't seem useful, or even throwing the branches into the fire. You may, as we're talking about love, all the passages this morning were about love, you're probably feeling really good about that. And then all of a sudden, in one heartbeat, we turn, and you might have felt something different, a pang of anxiety or fear as you think about branches being thrown in the fire. Anyone who has been discarded, anyone who has experienced love as conditional, is going to have a hard time finding goodness at the heart of the vine if that's what they're hearing, if that's where we start and try to discern the nature of God from that. And so often that is exactly what has happened. Where we have tried to grow the vine backwards, if you will, from the outward twigs back towards the root. And that doesn't make sense. How many times have church folks started with those dry and discarded branches and fearful of that and what that entails, tried to build a religion around that, tried to build a church around the bonfire, who started with fear, and then tried to figure out God from that? The only way to do that is to take all the branches that are brittle and lifeless and lying on the ground, and then try to cobble together something in the form of a vine, creating a Frankenstein vineyard animated not by love but by fear. One that has many of the right words, but is missing the key life force of self-giving, divine image love. Beloved, Let us love one another. God is love. All things start with love. That is how we grow. And seen that way, and John actually writes this in the passage, says that the branches that are struggling are not people to be discarded, but rather elements in each of our own hearts that are not bearing fruit and need to be pruned. Nobody wants to be pruned. It doesn't sound like fun, and it probably isn't. Yes, it means that we experience little ego deaths. And yes, that usually means that what is dying is fear. And yes, it hurts. Because fear is really good at what it does. It convinces us that we are dying. But what is actually dying is fear. A branch that has died has to come down, or else it could imperil the whole tree. Holding on to dead things in our souls keeps us from abiding in God. Holding on to things that have died, that's what we do when we are afraid. And it keeps us from abiding in God. But letting go means bearing more fruit. More than we have ever imagined. This is not about setting things on fire, but about bearing fruit. All of us bearing fruit and living the fullness of our lives, because that is what God created each and every one of us for. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. God's love for us is nourishment as we grow. When we begin our journey in love, growing up and out as a vine would, casting much-needed shadow, bearing fruit, we cast all fear aside as we become channels for the life-giving love of God. Amen.